welcome each of you here this morning, and we ask you just to be able to say thank you, Jesus, for warm weather, huh? So we're glad that you're here. You're not here by accident. God has plan and purpose for bringing you here this day. We'd like to have you fill out a couple of cards. There's a yellow one and a blue one. And so we'd like to have you just let us know if you have any prayer requests. And that prayer request one will be picked up right after the third scripture reading, the gospel. And so if you'd have that filled out by then, the second one will be picked up at the offering time. And so make sure you get those two filled out. Please stand and welcome one another now with a handshake of warmth and welcome. Please remain standing. We make our beginning this morning in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let us now confess our sins to God our Father. Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen. Almighty God, in his mercy and grace, has given his Son to die for you. And for his sake, he forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of the Word, and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. In peace, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For for the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For this holy house, and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. The Lord be with you.
Also with you.
Let us pray together. Almighty God, you know we live in the midst of so many dangers that in our frailty we cannot stand upright. Grant strength and protection to support us in all dangers and carry us through all temptations. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated.
God's word for today, it is a most amazing word, probably the, I would consider some of the most important words to understand our Christian life. To Jeremiah, God comes and tells him that he's the one that gave him life and tells him what to do with that life. Now the word of the Lord came to me saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I consecrated you. I appointed you a prophet to the nations. Then I said, ah, Lord God, behold, I do not know how to speak, for I am only a youth. But the Lord said to me, do not say I am only a youth, for to all to whom I send you, you shall go. And whatever I command you, you shall speak. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you to deliver you, declares the Lord. Then the Lord put his hand and touched my mouth, and the Lord said to me, Behold, I have put my words in your mouth. See, I have set you this day over nations, over kingdoms, to pluck up and to break down, to destroy and to overthrow, to build and to plant. But you, dress yourself for work. Arise and say to them everything that I command you. Do not be dismayed by them, lest I dismay you before them. And I, behold, I make you this day a fortified city, an iron pillar, and bronze walls against the whole land, against the kings of Judah, its officials, its priests, and the people of the land. They will fight against you, but they shall not prevail against you. For I am with you, declares the Lord, to deliver you. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The epistle tells how Jeremiah was to go about and how we are to go about our life. 1 Corinthians chapters 13, basically. I will show you a still more excellent way. If I speak in the tongues of men and angels, but have not love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. If I give away all I have, and if I deliver up my body to be burned, but have not love, I gain nothing. Love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. As for prophecies, they will pass away. As for tongues, they will cease. As for knowledge, it will pass away, for we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when the perfect comes, the partial will pass away. Now as a child, I spoke like a child, I thought like a child, I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I gave up childish ways, for now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I've been fully known. So now faith, hope, and love abide, these three. But the greatest of these is love. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you.
This day, as we look at it, St. Luke chapter 4, the reading of our chapter and verse.
Glory to you, Lord.
Jesus went down to Capernaum, a city of Galilee, and he was teaching them on the Sabbath, and they were astonished at his teaching, for his word possessed authority. And in the synagogue there was a man who had the spirit of an unclean demon, and he cried out with a loud voice, "Ha! What do you have to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are. You are the Holy One of God." But Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Be silent and come out of him." When the demon had thrown the man down in their midst, he came out of him, having done him no harm. And they were all amazed and said one unto another, "What is this word? For with authority and power Jesus commands the unclean spirits, and they come out." And reports about Jesus went out into every place in the surrounding region. And Jesus arose and left the synagogue and entered Simon's house. Now Simon's mother-in-law was ill with a high fever, and they appealed to him on her behalf. And he stood over her and rebuked the fever, and it left her. And immediately she rose and began to serve them. Now when the sun was setting, all those who had any who were sick with various diseases brought them to Jesus, and he laid his hands on every one of them, and he healed them. And the demons also came out of many, crying, "You are the Son of God." But Jesus rebuked them and would not allow them to speak, because they knew that he was the Christ. And when it was the day, he departed and went into a desolate place, and the people sought him and came to him and would have kept him from leaving them. But he said to them, "I must preach the good news of the kingdom of God to other towns as well, for I was sent for this purpose." And he was preaching in the synagogues of Judea. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
You may be seated.
Thank you.
grace, mercy, and peace be richly and abundantly poured out upon you this very day. Our text is taken from the Gospel of St. Luke, the 4th chapter. We invite you to follow along in the Pew Bible, beginning with verse 31 through the 44. And if you would like to follow along also with the PowerPoint presentation up front, that's great. As we begin today, we're going to hear a lot about power and authority and winning over the demons. But I'd like to ask you, with this Super Bowl Sunday, it seems like a lot of people are talking about much the same, but not of Christ, but of speaking of the power and the winsomeness of one quarterback over another or one team over another. And so I'd just like to ask you, how many of you are rooting for the Rams today? Raise your hand. Parker, that's a little iffy there. How many of you are voting for the Eagles? They're not playing, Brendan. How many of you are rooting for the Patriots? Okay. Well, I have it on good authority, all the footballs are inflated fully. And how many of you simply don't care? That's who won in each of the other services, too, just to let you know. So I just want to say that today as we look at this text, it's kind of with some wonderful text of words and things that are going on as we look at the city where a lot of this took place today. We look at the city named Capernaum. It's a place where many of Christ's miracles took place with power and authority. Last week's gospel lesson, you might remember, as Jesus was reading the scriptures in Nazareth, and he said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me." And then at the end of it, that he says, likely you will quote to me this proverb that says, "Physician, heal thyself." Or he said, "Oh, if you would only do the miracles that you did in Capernaum in your hometown." That was Capernaum. Capernaum being that place where many of Christ's miracles would take place. In today's text, we'll see Jesus healing a demoniac of the possession of being in that possession and control. We'd see Simon Peter's mother-in-law healed of a fever, and we'll see many who were actually touched and prayed for and the like, and they too were healed. But later throughout the gospel, we would also read that the Roman centurion's child was also from this city placed in the healing hands of Jesus. We would see the paralytic that was lowered down through the roof that was healed in this town. And we would see that this was the center of Jesus' public ministry. We also know from the reading of scripture and history and archaeological findings that Matthew owned a home here, that this was the hometown of Simon Peter, Andrew, James, and John. And according to Mark chapter 2, verse 1, Jesus also likely owned a home here in Capernaum. From our text today, we can also surmise that Jesus is Lord of the Sabbath. Notice that he is the one who does not wait to help this man. He doesn't tell him to come back tomorrow. He doesn't say, "Today's the Sabbath and I can do no work." He says, "Today is the day that you will be delivered of this demon." He saw this man's need and he healed him even though it was on the Sabbath. There was a man with this unclean spirit, our text tells us, that came to the synagogue on this Sabbath day where Jesus was teaching. And as you know, that most people were always thinking you cannot do anything on the Sabbath relating to any form of work. But Jesus demonstrates that he does have power and authority and that he was the Lord of the Sabbath by healing this man. And the scriptures tell us that the man was demon-possessed. Now, some today would call that mental illness. If you've ever had a friend or a family member that's suffering from mental illness, I'm here to tell you, mental illness is one of the most difficult diseases to treat and to live with and to cope with. It is something that is one of the cruelest and most difficult illnesses that we can ever try to grapple with and get our arms around. Every day is different, so very often. It affects everyday life in such a way that it often becomes overwhelming. So my friends, as you hear about those that would tag this with simple mental illness, don't minimize the miracle. Jesus released this man from whatever the disease or the trial or the tribulation was. Scriptures call it demon possession. And I'm not saying those that have mental illness are demon possessed always. That can be, however, among other things, an expression, but not all. Ha! The evil spirit said, "What do you have to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are. You're the Holy One of God." But Jesus rebuked the spirit and said, "Be silent and come out of him." Now the crowds were capturing what was going on in this dialogue between Jesus and the demon. They realized that Jesus was the one who was speaking with authority. The demon asked, "What do you have to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us?" They too knew that Jesus had the power and the authority to do just that. They realized who he was, the Holy One of God. "Be silent, come out of him," Jesus said. And Jesus told the demon, and the demon obeyed. It threw the man to the ground, and the man came out, was able to stand, and had no harm had come to him. Jesus had delivered this man on Sabbath from the tortures and trials of this demon. Jesus had authority. He spoke with the demon, and the demons obeyed. The people were awestruck and amazed at the power and the authority of Jesus' words and of his teachings. Reports went out all over the region what Jesus was doing in the city of Capernaum. My friends, let the presses run and the media proclaim today that Jesus is Lord, that he speaks and teaches with truth and power and authority. As you and I realize that Jesus Christ died upon a crude cross on Calvary, we also realize that he paid the price for each and every one of our sins. And from the cross he said, "Father, forgive them." That's us. And from the cross he said, "It is finished. It's paid for. It's in full paid for." And 3 days later, Jesus was raised from death to life. And we understand that though our sins are many, and we are deserving of death and damnation, Christ has released us from the wrath of Almighty God. You and I realize that we have been released, that Jesus has spoken with power and authority with the waters of holy baptism as he declares you and me children of God. As we come forward for communion later today, we'll be able to receive the body and blood of the Lord in, with, and under the bread and wine. And what do we receive? But the forgiveness again of Christ. And from this pulpit, we again hear, "Your sins have been forgiven." Tell your friends, tell your family, Jesus does well and he speaks with authority and with power this day to release you and me over the greatest of all demons, dealing with death, dealing with sickness, yes, but also dealing with the disease called sin. Authority over sickness. Our text next says that Jesus went with Simon to Simon's house, and there his mother-in-law was ill with a very high fever. They appealed to Jesus on her behalf, and he stood over her and he rebuked the fever, and it left her, and immediately she rose and began to serve them. Fevers of Jesus' day were very serious things, especially high fevers. And you remember, they didn't have Tylenol or aspirin. And a fever that was high was something that was very serious. It could lead even to brain damage, even in our day, even in our age. Where Simon Peter's mother-in-law was concerned, this is how ill she was. They, the disciples, the ones who had seen Jesus heal others, now appealed to Jesus and asked, "Jesus, won't you heal her? Help her." And help he did. The fever left her immediately at Jesus' rebuke of the fever. And it left her, and as a fever usually leaves us, limp and lifeless, drained of all energy. And our text tells us that she needed no time to recuperate or rest. But she jumps up out of bed with none of those complications. And she went and she served her guest, Jesus, and the others. You know, I've always had a hard time with that part of this text. I just want to yell out, "Come on, guys, let the poor woman have a break. Don't make her get up and serve you. Take care of her and take care of yourselves." Upon further reflection, however, I really see what's going on here. How deeply Jesus had restored her. The complications of the fever were gone. The energy that would otherwise have been drained, which would have taken days to recuperate and revive her, were obviously taken care of. Jesus' healing was so complete that it recharged her, and she jumps up out of bed and she goes to work and was so thankful that she wanted to serve Jesus and all the other guests. My friends, how thankful are you and I about what Jesus has done in our lives? Are you ready to go to work? A couple of weeks ago, I asked you to fill out sheets of paper, and I'm so thankful you did. Many of you did. I had a few that sent a couple of emails that said, "My gift to Trinity and the community is." And I was so thankful to receive those little slips of paper. And by the way, the 11 o'clock service did well, but 9:30 beat you. They had a couple more than you did. But I was so glad to see all the responses that came in. And I want to thank each and every one of you. I visited a man this week who was going in for surgery the very following day. He told me that his wife had said, well, they were at church that Sunday where we took the write down your gifts that you want to bring to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. She nudges him and she says, "I just think you ought to write that down. You could still do that. You could serve Jesus that way." And when I was there in his hospital room, he told me the story. And he said, "Pastor, I'm going in for surgery tomorrow. But when I'm out, I want to..." And he filled in the blank. Wow, such a faith that's so thankful to God for all that he had done and was about to do, that this man was ready to get off the hospital bed, get out from surgery, and then go to church and get started, get going. Rocky, put you on the spot, but you remember when your mom was in the hospital? She said, "I don't know if this is just another one of those bumps in the road or if the Lord's going to call me home." But she said, "Either way, it's okay, because I've got a lot of work to do for him if I'm going to stay around here for a while." And that was her goal, wasn't it? To serve Jesus. With a smile today, he's saying that. As I look at you, as I look at each of you, I see people who are eager to serve Jesus, who are like Peter's mother-in-law, who are like the friend I talked to with you about, or like Peggy. And you're ready to serve Jesus. I'm very thankful for that. And I pray that the Lord will help us make good and wise stewardship decisions about how to use each of your spiritual gifts in ways that are going to extend the kingdom of God and have the greatest impact in serving Jesus. But I want you to know that Jesus does have the authority to speak life and healing and health into your life. And that Jesus is the one who gets you up and gets you going and gets you stirred up to be able to step in and stand in and to go to serve him. And sometimes we don't have to wait for somebody to tap us on the shoulder and say, "It's time." I've been here on Sundays where somebody didn't show up. And before the service began, there were already 3 volunteers to take that position, only to have somebody step that came in late say, "I'm here." That's good to know, that we're so willing to stand together, to talk together, and to work together. And that's what I hear and that's what I see. Now when the sun was setting, all those who had any who were sick with various diseases brought them to him. And he laid his hands on them, every one of them, and he healed them. On the Sabbath, sure gave a different picture of what the Sabbath was supposed to be like. For Jesus, it wasn't a day of rest, was it? It was a day of serving and healing and helping. But most of all, a day of loving and caring. What compassion, oh, what compassion and care our Christ, our Savior, has for those who are sick and suffering. Scripture calls Jesus the Good Shepherd. Jesus is called the Good Physician. And elsewhere in Scripture, we read in the Old Testament that God spoke. When Moses asked, "Who should I say to Pharaoh that sent me?" He said, "Tell him, I am." And who is I am? He said, "I am that I am." Thanks for clearing that up, God. That name in Hebrew really means and describes the ultimate, the only, the one and only God, self-existent. Jesus says in the last verses of Matthew, "I am with you always." And you know, I hope you understand and you see those words, that "I am" capitalized, so that you understand that that one who is in the Old Testament as the self-existent God, the one and only, is the same one who says, "I am with you always." The self-existent, all-powerful, only God is with you always in all situations of your life. Yahweh, the self-existent God. Adonai, the Lord over all. Yahweh Sabaoth, the Lord of hosts. That's really what we're seeing and hearing about this Jesus, where myriads of angels who wage war against the armies of hell, who are trying to destroy mankind, Jesus holds at bay. At his commands, the angels go forth on our behalf. Jesus is the Lord of hosts and captain of the armies of heaven. Yes, Jesus has the authority over unclean spirits and demons and sickness. Yes, also has the authority over death, damnation, and the devil. And he announces to you and to me, we are children of God, freed from the wrath of God, and promised life everlasting. All and any who came to Jesus were healed. All and any who were brought to Jesus today will receive the healing of forgiveness, the healing of love, the healing of caring, the healing of belonging, the healing of being a child of God. There's a section in Scripture where we read next, why, you ask the question, why didn't Jesus want the demons to speak? Why did he tell them to shush? You know, I thought about that. One of the reasons, I think, is because Jesus wanted them, the people that is, to know who he was. Not to limit the size of his lordship, but to see him as the Savior, to see him as the Messiah, to see him as the Son of God. Not just the king that was going to come and establish some type of a Roman overthrow of the government and establish a new authority here on earth. Jesus wanted to be known as the Son of God. And he wanted the people of God to discover that, not to see that in through the words of the demons who would otherwise have only pointed to the miracles. Jesus wanted to be seen as the Messiah. And that Messiah tried to leave town. But the people of that God, of that region of Capernaum, tried to follow Jesus and tried to keep him from leaving. And he says, "I must leave, for I must preach the gospel, the good news of the kingdom of God to other towns as well, for I was sent for this purpose." Thankful that that is what happened. Because in the known world of that day, Jesus went to those other towns and shared the gospel, not only with the Jewish people, but also with the Gentiles. And he not only shared that message with them, but with his disciples. And you remember that was their charge, is to go and make disciples of all peoples, all nations, baptizing them and teaching them all things whatsoever. This past week in my office, a Pastor Mendetto visited me. He was working with Lutheran Bible translators. And he told me the story of Ethiopia. And Ethiopia is in the African continent. If you were looking at Africa, you would see at about 10 or 11 o'clock, you would see the nation of Ethiopia. And I sure hope it's there when you look. One of the things I'd like to say is, he told me that 3 decades ago, the size of Christianity was 20,000 people, all surrounded by over 100 million Muslims, people who believed in Islam. It was hard on the Christians. And then communism also tried to put the cover, the lid on them, and to keep Christ out of that region. He said, but the church flourished in those days. Under persecution, it spread, multiplied. And he said, today, that same Christian church is growing at a rate of 14,000 new believers in Jesus Christ each and every week. Wow. He said, we can't keep up. We can't train pastors fast enough. We've now translated the Word of God into their language. And when communism was lifted, and with their the Bible in their language, the people were brought to faith in droves. He said, today, the size of the Ethiopian Christian church is this. It's 10 million people, growing from 20,000. You can see the size and the growth of what God did with power and with authority that is still happening on this planet in this day and in this age. God hasn't left. He's still working in our midst. He's still spreading His word, and it is still powerful and bringing people to faith in His Son, Jesus Christ. It's this time I ask, what is the purpose of Trinity Lutheran Church? Our history echoes the words of Jesus. We must proclaim the good news of the kingdom of God elsewhere. We, in fact, did not limit our good news telling to one place, but were instrumental in doddering or helping with planting other churches. Now, I was told by a former pastor's son that I forgot one this morning. I forgot our Savior Lutheran Church, our sister congregation over on Burton Avenue. We also have been a part of starting Ascension in Castleberry, Prince of Peace here in Orlando, over on Cimarron Boulevard, Grace St. Cloud, and others beyond this part of Orlando. We've also served as the birthplace for the Florida Georgia District. And 66 years ago, we saw a need to educate and disciple our children with the gospel of Christ. We started a K-8 school. And later in 1983, we decided that we needed to expand that to reach the youngest of the young, and we started our Child Development Center. Today, we have 500 people on this campus each and every day throughout the week, between students and employees and staff. The Lord has been good to us. Now, as we approach Trinity's second century, what will we do to bring the good news of the kingdom of God to other places, to other towns, other people groups, other countries around this world? This was the purpose for which Christ gave His life, to bring this good news. And my friends, I believe that one of the places we need to start is in connecting our church and our school together so that the families of both can be a oneness where we can touch out and reach out and touch the lives of the families and the parents and the brothers and sisters of those that are in our Child Development Center and also in our school. And that we will have a oneness and a message of hope as we deal with and minister to those that are already here. Start with where you're at, who God has blessed us with. And as a result, as we do that, we will be seeing and expanding the kingdom of God. I think also we need to be reaching beyond these campus of this 5.2 acres. And we need to be looking for those things in the near future as well. Mendetto's words rang true in my ears. It's also Jesus' words. I much preach the good news of the kingdom of God. For that is why I was sent for this purpose. It's why Trinity is here. It's Jesus who himself paid the price on Calvary's cross, rose from the dead on the third day, and then, some 50 days later, he sent the Holy Spirit to the town called Jerusalem, the very town they crucified Christ in. And that's where the Christian church began. And you know what Jesus said? He said, "Lo, I'm with you always," but he was ascended into heaven. And you know who he said he's leaving the church in his hands with? You. You and me. He left his church in the hands of his people to go and to make disciples of all people, baptizing and teaching them all things whatsoever I've commanded. He still speaks with power and authority, and he still speaks to you and to me. And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. In Jesus' name, amen. Please stand. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures and ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the one Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets, and I believe in one holy, Christian, and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. You may be seated. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks unto the Lord our God.
It is right to give thanks and praise.
It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks unto you, O Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and singing. And Savior Jesus, we indeed do give you thanks for your power and authority to overcome demons of darkness and of death, for proclaiming unto your church the victory of life everlasting, the forgiveness of sins, health and healing, and how richly and daily you abundantly protect us from the harm of the evil one. whose attacks are upon us in mighty ways, and yet your hand holds them away from them, from us. Thank you, O Lord, for your authority and power upon which you protect and defend us daily. Lord, in your mercy. Lord, we also ask that you would continue to bless our congregation and ministry, its church and its school. Help us to connect with one another, especially the families that are sending children, their family members, to this very place. Help us to reach out and to touch them and to be in ministry further with them as well. Lord, in your mercy. Help us also to reach out to the world that is around us, and with hands of help and hearts of hope, help us to share the wondrous good news that you have shared with us, and help us to proclaim this news to other people in other places. Lord, in your mercy. And now, O Lord, hear the prayers that have been requested from God's people.
Heavenly Father, we offer up prayers for John, a young college student who was attacked, went out with friends this past Friday night. We offer prayers of thanksgiving that he was only had stitches and minor injuries, but also prayers that he would come to full healing. We also offer up prayers for Larry and his various health concerns. We ask that you an extra measure of your grace and your healing on Larry, and that he would improve his health issues. Lord, in your mercy.
Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, in the same night in which he was betrayed, took the bread, and when he had broken it and given thanks, he gave it unto his disciples, and he said, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given unto death for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Likewise, after he had supped, he took the cup, and when he had blessed it, he gave thanks, and he gave it unto the disciples, saying, "Take and drink ye all of it, for this cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is given and is shed for you for the remission of all your sins. As often as you do this, do it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always. As often as we drink this cup and eat this bread, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes.
Thank you.
Receive now the benediction of our Lord. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. You may be seated. Just will make mention of one or two brief announcements. I think we have a Lutheran School Weeks on the side of the PowerPoint on desktop there. We have a special little clip, but you'll see some of the pictures from National Lutheran School Week last week. We had a lot of fun with that, and you'll see several pictures in this. Peace, the comfort dog, attended every day, and he's passing with flying colors. We're seeing from our CDC center as well some folks there and some pictures. We had pajama day, and Dr. Middleton said she went out to eat dinner that evening after a meeting in the evening, forgetting that she still had her pajamas on, and apologized to the waiter. So I think we've got one other picture coming up here. And is there a slide on the side there? Do you see? There you go. Thank you. Thank God for our schools, our Lutheran schools, and for the teachers and staff that make it possible. I'm going to turn the rest of the announcements over to Tony.
Thank you, Pastor. There are many announcements this week, but we're only highlighting two others. We're thankful for National Lutheran Schools Week, and another school event that's coming up is Grandparents' Day. So Grandparents' Day will be Wednesday, February 13th. And we invite all the grandparents, of course, help us welcome all wonderful grandparents of our children here at the Trinity School. And in order to make Grandparents' Day a success, we also need volunteers to help set up, serve food, welcome guests, direct parking, and clean up. And you can sign up to volunteer by using the online link that is specified in the Triune Weekly, or contact the school office. Then the final announcement that we want to highlight is the Trinity Lutheran School discount registration deadline is March 1st. This is Trinity Lutheran School is open for registration for the 2019-2020 year. Discount registration is available until March 1st, so contact the school office or more information by emailing Carrie Packman, carrie.packman@trinitydowntown.com. And that's it. Thank you.